Yes, we do. Next item on the agenda is number 12, pertaining to horseshoe crab, 4BAC 20-900. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be recusing myself on this item since I have an interest in the fishery.
Kathy, so note that on the record, if you would, please. Thank you, sir. Mr. Grist?
Good afternoon. I will do my best to make this brief. Y'all have received an evaluation. It details everything I'm about to tell you, so we shouldn't have to go back into this with too much detail. You'll notice in the beginning part of the evaluation, we talked about last year's measures in 2011 for horseshoe crab fishery, where we sub-allocated the quota out by four gear types, the dredge, the trawl, the hand harvesters, and then a combination of pound net and other gear. Last year, we were under a reduced quota at 130,933 crabs. That was due to overages of the previous 2 years. This year, we have gotten our full quota allotment back to 152,495 because we have paid back our overages. Now, last year, even with the sub-allocations, trying to spread it out equitably amongst all the different gear types, we still saw a very quick fishery overall. The dredge, the hand harvest, and the pound net other categories were closed by June 10th. The trawl category lasted until September 23rd. One thing we did look, and we looked at last year's information as it came through, the reasons that other category was really called the pound net other category was it was primarily intended to be pound net, and the other was just going to be basically bycatch. But when we looked at it, we saw it kind of divided up a little differently last year. In all the previous years, from 07 to 2010, pound net represented, when you combine those two categories together, about 91% of the harvest. When we looked at it last year, pound net was only a little over 57%. What had happened was we had a little bit more of a directed gill net fishery pop up, and that ate into what was really, we thought, was going to be more of a pound net fishery. The pound net fishery traditionally goes right on through into the fall, and traditionally has also been the avenue where we've had horseshoe crab supplied to our buyers in the fall. But with that, we closed on June 10th, again, with that combined. So it didn't work out exactly as was intended. Now, we had a meeting with our horseshoe crab industry on February 13th. We invited 82 harvesters who are eligible for permits. I say eligible for permits because last year the commission enacted a license moratorium. So these are only those who, after that moratorium, are still eligible to be in this fishery. 21 harvesters were able to attend. Many called. Some were out of town or working or needed to work that night and were unable to be there. It was the opening of striped bass season 2 weeks prior. A lot of guys needed to be on the water. They just couldn't afford to come down for the meeting. We had consensus items, and again, I'll say consensus items. Of that group, we worked very hard to come up at the end of the night with something that everyone could shake their head up and down and agree to. First was that the pound net and other gear categories should be split. Pound net should have its own sub-allocation of the quota, as should the other gear category. We came up with a new formula to allocate those separate categories. I'm not going to go into the exact details of it. I'll show you the percentages that came out. But if you want to see how all the math works out, I can show you that. And then also, and this came from the industry members who are present, we came with a recommendation because there had been concern from some that the gillnet fishery may have gotten more of a directed interest in horseshoe crabs last year, maybe, that we should do some restrictions. And this actually came from the industry members. So they asked us to put a restriction. Gillnet harvests of horseshoe crabs daylight hours only, sunrise to sunset, cap it at 250 per day. Okay? That was not advertised in the public notice. That would need to be an emergency regulation on top of everything else we're asking today. It does provide for the welfare of the industry participants. It will allow for an equitable allocation of the quota as was intended under this new consensus allocation system. This is what it would look like now. First column, the second column really shows the allocations from 2011. You'll notice on the fourth one, the pound net other gear combined. If we changed nothing, the middle one, the original 2012 allocations would have looked as they're presented there, from 64,000 to dredge gear all the way down to 33,000 pound net other combined. Under the consensus agreement with the industry on the 13th, the new allocations are all the way on the right-hand side. A little bit of drop, to the dredge gears, the trawl gears, and the hand harvest from what they would have been had we changed nothing. The pound net now has its own allocation. It's not shared at 27,665 crabs. What is left is 10,564 crabs for the other gear, really considering other gear is more of a bycatch, not really directing. But it allows them to still, they get some horseshoe crabs, they can bring them in. So the staff's recommendation on this item is establish the 2012 commercial quota at 152,495 crabs, to sub-allocate it as we have indicated. Also, we're asking for the adoption of a draft emergency regulation to restrict the harvest of horseshoe crabs by gillnet to daylight hours only with a 250 crab cap, and also advertise that for a March 2012 public hearing. As brief as I can make it, sir.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Fox?
Why is this an emergency?
There is some indication that with the current environmental conditions of this year, this warm winter, there may be an ability to target the horseshoe crabs come March, especially up in the traditional areas such as Tom's Cove. They consider so we don't have an issue come up where that quota gets harvested too quickly. We need the cap in place. Everyone would agree this has been an awfully warm winter versus where it should be.
Further questions? Thank you, John.
Thanks, sir.
This is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to be heard on this matter? Going once, going twice. Come forward, sir, please. Yes, sir, good afternoon. State your name for the record, please.
Charles Wimbrough.
Proceed. I'm
a hand harvester, been so for many years, and I was actually the one who came up with the idea of taking some from each group to give it to the gillnetters to make it a fair fishery. A problem I have is they, at the last minute at that meeting, it was not agreed upon. It was not shared. Last minute it was kind of slid in about this gillnetting at night after dark thing. The fair way to do it, and that's all I'm looking out for, is fair for everybody, would be simple. The hand harvesters cannot hand harvest any horseshoe crabs from beginning of May until June 6th or June 4th. Let's do that for everybody, because what they're doing is they're putting your gill nets inside the cove. They're not supposed to do that within 1,000 feet of the mean low tide mark. They're doing that. They're catching the same crabs that we're catching, and they're catching them for the later eggs. Dredgers are sitting right outside the inlet, and they're sitting within 1,000 feet, and they're catching the crabs before they get it. So the problem is what we need to do right now is just say in the month of May, it shouldn't be harvested at all with hand harvest, gill netters, or trawlers. That's the problem. That's the only thing that I really am concerned about, because if the hand harvesters, we have a 50% chance for those crabs to lay their eggs. They might lay them, times we pick them up, they might not have. But if a gill netter sets his net outside that mark before they come to shore, they're certainly not laid their eggs. And if the dredger catches them before they get to shore, they've certainly not laid their eggs. So we're not affecting the industry half as much as they are. All I want to be is fair with everybody here, but if we're going to do it, let's do it for everybody and make it complete.
Questions? Thank you, sir. Who's next? Sir.
Mike Gibson, commercial waterman. I wanted to agree with Ray. There's so many gray areas and so many loopholes with the 1,000 feet rule, gill netting. It's unstoppable. Everybody can bend the rules one way or another, and the gill netting industry is going to continue to build and catch way more crabs than ever expected. It's just fair to shut it down for everybody, close it up in May. Nobody can go, just nobody. I think that's the only way to solve any problems. The 250 is not going to solve it. The nighttime is not going to solve it. It's just not. I mean, I think that's it.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Do y'all handpick most of your crabs in April?
You can, yes, sir. Okay. Most of them in June.
June, y'all do?
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Grisk, real quick. You can come on up, Mr. Bowden. The concerns that they're alluding to, can you give me the good, the bad, and the ugly about it?
I'll address two of the comments that just came up. I'll address this right away. The options you see before you today, we put on the screen in front of the entire group. Deputy Commissioner Travelstead actually asked the group at the end of that meeting, does anyone intend to come and speak against these options? Not one person in that room indicated any opposition to these options. So we can get that on the record. This was actually put on the screen. The staff took the time to type it out, put it in front of them so everyone saw it.
Good enough. Thank you.
Sir, as far as the other option, sir, there's always some loophole. The 1,000-feet rule is properly enforced.
That's all I needed to know was about the closure.
On the closure, we have no...
No. I'm talking about what he had to say. Everything's good. Thank you.
All right.
Who's next? Mr. Bowden?
Mr. Bowman, members of the commission, my name is Danny Bowden, and I am a commercial fisherman, like just about everyone else in here. This issue of the horseshoe crabs is quite contentious, particularly when we consider how small a fishery it is. And where the contention has come from, since I've taken note of this, is actually from those who call themselves hand harvesters. Hand harvesting was not something anyone over here with the VMRC knew anything about until like 1996. And has been a fishery, in my opinion, that has been one that has been ruled over by greed and jealousy. Originally, when it was first brought to the commission's attention here, the commission was not even aware of it. This was going on. Okay, three men are doing this, and at the time, there were schoolboys as well doing so. They were jealous of them, so they come before the commission, try to knock them out. Incidentally, those guys who knocked them out are no longer even involved in this fishery. Okay. I was at this meeting here, and at this meeting we came to a consensus. We came to an honorable agreement, a gentleman's agreement. It was agreed upon by everyone there. Now, evidently, maybe not everyone's a gentleman, not everyone's honorable. These two action items here were brought to the committee to staff's attention, but these are law enforcement issues. What was happening is that people were going out there under the guise of gill netting, and taking and picking up crabs by hand. And not only were they doing that, there were some people's gear was violated. And a man who has 40 years of experience gill netting and is catching rockfish, and this is the deal, we were rock fishing and we're working on smooth dogs. When they are there doing that, and that man knows that after 10 consecutive days of catching 10 to 12 fish out of one rig of nets and goes there for a two-day period and there's no fish in there, and the only reason the fish came back is because law enforcement was made aware of this. Now, the law enforcement officers more or less had maybe one leg tied behind their back here. That being this, they can go to someone here. Well, I've got a net in my boat. I caught them incidentally. That is not what was happening here. I would have sat down. I would have kept my mouth shut and said nothing until this little bit of contention here again with what we're doing. So at the suggestion of our local law enforcement officers, they asked possibly we could take and see if we could introduce this before the staff here and also before the commission, that A, you would not have any of these horseshoe crabs in your boat during daylight hours or at night, because you don't know how they came back getting the things here. That was the main thing with them also, and I agree with it, because anyone who's out there has got a boatload of crabs at night is not taking them out of a net. They're a pain in the butt to get out of the net during daylight hours. As far as those who are involved in the fishery, we interact with these fish, with these crabs, whether we want to or not, every working day we're out there fishing. Whether we're doing it gill nets or if we're doing it in horseshoe with pound nets, I'm getting a little bit excited here. And it's one of these things that we've always had to contend with. Quite often we don't want to contend with the things. When I'm working on rockfish, the last thing I want to do is be bogged down with a bunch of horseshoe crabs. But also with this growing global economy we have, the value of the crabs has gone up. It really and truly has. And there's a chance for us who are in the gillnet fishery. It's not a director fishery. It's a bycatch fishery. It says 250 up there. 150 would take us, to tell you the truth. That's all any of us would be probably landing here in an incidental capacity. I mean, I would live with that, but the one thing I want to see the commission go through with here is this thing here about having no crabs aboard your boat during the times of the hand harvest quota there, because that's where our violation is taking place. That's why laws that are being used as a smokescreen, or if you're a Star Trek fan, used as a cloaking device here in order to do this. And also, it creates some problems as well. Boats coming in at night landing or catch are not as often subject to review, shall we say, or search by the officers involved here. This is going on. So this also takes and brings about the opportunity for a black market, so to speak. And it is there. It really is there. So please take that. If nothing else, this, if you don't agree with anything, please keep that in mind here as far as the rules and regulations will be easily enforced by the officers we have there. And also, as staff said, this was arrived at here honorably and consensus of everyone in there. And simple thought here with me, and somebody's going to get mad with this, and who knows, maybe I'll end up on the dueling grounds out here after this is over with, which I don't think Virginia has anymore, you never know, is that it's something that we all went out this evening, we all thought we could live with. There were other places I would have rather been today than here. I've got deaths in the neighborhood, deaths in my church, funerals to attend. Instead, I've had to come here because Jungle Drum said there's going to be a little something happen. Someone's going to try to pull a little change here, and evidently I am right. So, folks, thank you so much for your time here.
Thank you, Mr. Bowden. Who's next?
Good afternoon. I'm Kenny Heath. I'm a pioneer on the Eastern Shore. I was here at the industry meeting, and when I left, my understanding was everybody had agreed upon the staff's recommendation, and that's where it was going to lie. Of course, until this morning, I got a call, and I understand there was a little something different going on, so I figured we should come over here and see what was going on. So the only thing I disagree with is the moratorium. I got a son, 23 years old. Been fishing with me all his life, and now he's going pine that on his own this year, and he can't get a permit to bring in horseshoe crabs. So that's my only beef on it. But otherwise, I agree with staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chief. Who's next? Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Chris Cuno, waterman from Shankatig. Everyone's right. We pretty much about 10 minutes before the meeting ended. We did all agree, you know, that, and with everything that was going on. But in the last minute before it was ended is when they brought up about the 250 horseshoe crabs and the nighttime only. And that's why I'm here today, is to voice my opinion about that. They're saying about how, you know.
So you didn't hear it at the initial meeting?
It was right at the last minute, right before Jack closed up. One of my friends, Ray, actually stood up and said, can we vote on this? And it was already people were getting up and leaving. That's how late it was thrown in. So that's why we're here today.
Okay.
The nighttime fishing, I mean, I can understand that. The bottom line is VMRC already has a rule in place. May 1st through June 7th, it is unlawful to land horseshoe harvest horseshoe crabs within 1,000 feet of any shoreline in Virginia. And that's pretty much enforced on the hand harvesters only. See, now the gill netters, when they're catching the dogfish, they catch dogfish when they spawn right up against the beach, out of their gill nets, right against the beach. And they're landing those horseshoe crabs as their bycatch, but it's against the law to do that. They're not allowed to be landing these horseshoe crabs that they're catching in their dogfish nets right off the beach. It's against the law. So whether they're going out there in the middle of the night, I know they want to try to stop it by doing it at night. It's against the law in the daytime, too. You're not allowed to land those horseshoe crabs when you catch them in your dogfish net or your rockfish net in the month of May. The best way to settle that problem is just end it completely in the month of May. Forget about the 1,000 feet. Forget about the nighttime. It's against the law to land a horseshoe crab in the state of Virginia May 1st through June 7th. That would be really simple. It would work out for everybody. There would be no temptation if you're a hand harvester to go out there and then land them, say, well, I caught them in my gill net. But still, it's against the law. You can't set that gill net and catch a horseshoe crab and land it 1,000 feet. And they're not anywhere else. They're right against the beach. That's the only way you're going to catch them. So it'd be just a lot easier. Month of May 1st through June 7th, closed season.
Questions?
It just makes sense.
Mr. Plumley.
Was there a discussion at the industry meeting about the suggestion of closing the season altogether?
During the month of May up to June? Well, it all got brought to light was with this sunset, after sunset, not allowed to do it in the 250. That's when it kind of just came about. And, I mean, it is a problem. And that's how you would end it. Even a pound netter. Have you ever seen a pound netter set up 1,000 feet off the beach where it begins, the leg of it, and then goes out? No, it comes right off the beach. I'm not trying to burn anybody's bridges here, but even the pound netters are catching horseshoe crabs illegally in the month of May. They're within that 1,000 feet.
To answer your question, yeah, I have seen pound nets do.
Well, most of them. I mean, 99% of them come off the land. Right. And those horseshoe crabs that are being landed from those pound nets in the month of May are illegal. The best way to solve it is end it in May, open it up June 7th, like everybody does. I mean, that's real simple.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bowen. Good afternoon. My name is Vernon Merritt, commercial fisherman from Chincoteague, Virginia. And if all we want is a bycatch out of the whole thing, fishing our gill nets for smooth dogs and rockfish, if I pick a horseshoe crab out today and I throw him overboard, I'm going to have to pick the same crab out tomorrow. And by June 7th, our fishing industry for rockfish and smooth dog is over. We'll not set nets in Tom's Cove in June because of stingrays, bullfish, and sea turtles. We're done times that stuff shows up. And we're allowed to fish within 1,000 feet of the shoreline for the smooth dogs and the rockfish. And my question to a couple of these hand harvesters, how do they know what's in our nets if they're not supposed to be fishing our nets?
I'm afraid I'm not allowed to ask them that question.
Exactly. That's why we proposed, the gill net industry proposed the bycatch, and it was just for the bycatch. It wasn't for dredge crabs or trawl crabs. It was just for the gill net bycatch quota in the daylight hours, and that's why we dropped the quota back from 500 to 250, and like Danny said, we'd be perfectly satisfied with 150 a day, because that's what it is, a bycatch. This conflict between these hand harvesters and the gill netters is ridiculous. It's stupid. The gill netters that are being talked about, we're full-time fishermen. We've been commercial fishermen our whole life. A couple of the hand harvesters are commercial men and have been commercial men their whole life. The rest of them are carpenters, plumbers, part-timers. And as far as the history, we've caught horseshoe crabs as a bycatch back in the 80s and 90s, sell them to the eel. That was before there was a quota, before there was even a reporting system. And, you know, the crabs we caught back then, we don't get credit for. We caught them crabs before some of these guys even moved to Chincoteague and even knew what a horseshoe crab was. But as far as the June 7th, us being shut down in May, that's when our fishing, our gill netting is in May. By June 7th, we're done. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Bowden, I know you can come all the way from Chincoteague and I can give some words of wisdom. Come on now. Good to have you here.
I spent all this thought after the horse training.
Ernest Fagden. I want people to realize a bycatch is what it means. It's a bycatch. It means you're fishing for something else when you catch it. The 1,000-foot issue, a lot of my nets are way more than 1,000 foot off the beach, and it doesn't take effect on May anyway. So it really doesn't have bearing on the subject. We need the daylight hour provision. And I'll tell you why. Last year I had somebody fishing my nets a couple of days in a row. Park Service got involved, evidently, from what I've been told. No more problem. I went from catching fish to no fish for 2 days, right back just like it was prior to that. Now, I have no idea who's doing it, but the daylight hours would eliminate any possibility. Also make it a lot easier in law enforcement, because if you got a gill net in the boat, you can claim you caught them with a gill net, even if you pick them up by hand, there'll be no way of knowing. I agree with Mr. Merritt. You know, this is a bycatch. If you want to go to a lower number, it's an emergency anyway, which you're going to have to do. If you wanted to make it 150, one thing I really think we need to do is, and I believe this is probably already that way unless you do other, one permit per boat. I know you allowed to stack permits last year for the hand harvest issue, and that was something you decided at the meeting when we all had our industry meeting, and I did attend last year. I didn't make it this year. It was my wife's 17th anniversary of her 39th birthday. So I attended that. But, I mean, I really think you should limit it to one permit per boat because we want it to be a bycatch. We want it to last the season out. And if you allow 250, for example, two people to the boat, three people to the boat, it can very, very well be caught up in less than a week. And there are a lot of trouble get out in the net. And you throw them back, you catch them the next day, a couple legs less. Throw them back the next day, a couple legs less. After a while, you don't catch them because they can't crawl. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. I think if we do this, if you wanted to lower it below 250, I think all the people, and I've gone in Tom's Cove since 1967. I know you all thinking I probably weren't born then, but I was. So I really think, you know.
You're that much older than me?
Yeah. I was in my mother's womb in 1967 when she carried me out there, but I just wanted to.
Gotcha.
But no, I've been dealing with that for 45 years. So, I mean, this is not something new. This is something we've always done. I've sold them years ago when we got a quarter for them. I've given them away when you couldn't sell them. It just got so you can sell them now because of the conch fishery. Before that, it was the eel fishery, and everybody knows what's happened to the eel fishery. So, right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ernie.
Can I clarify something? One quick thing.
You know, after otherwise, no, but after today, yeah. Come on up. And quick.
The rule states on the 1,000 foot that you have to be 1,000 feet away from the beach to take them out. My pine nets are 1,200 feet long. The pine head is over 1,000 feet from the beach, and that's where I take the crabs from.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that Mr. Heath?
That would be Mr. Heath. Anyone else? Public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission. This is quite interesting. Anybody got any comments? Mr. Palmer, you want to weigh in before I do or what?
Well, you know, everybody had an agreement. And I've always looked at it as a deal is a deal, and somebody's going to be sour with it later. If you're not happy about things, you should have been there at the time.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion, sir.
Motion made by Mr. Palmer to accept staff recommendation, including the emergency regulation. Does that also include the provision for a public hearing on the emergency?
Yes, sir.
Second to the motion by Mr. Plumlee. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much for a very heartfelt debate.